Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing a reading from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 20, which is entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, right? Let's see. Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, yes. And today's text is 12. Yadyapi asau adharmena mam badniyad anagasam tatapi enam na hingshishye bhitam brahma tanam ripum yadyapasavadharmena mambadniyadanagasam tatapi nangna hingsishye bhitang brahmatana. We have several cases of this sandhya that makes the meter flow properly, so try to do it. When you have the y followed by asav, you don't say tatyapi asav. You say tatyapi asav. You run them together. Otherwise, the meter doesn't work out. Same thing with this third line. Okay? Yadyapi asav adharmena mambadni yadanagasam tatapi enang nahing sishye bhitang brahma tanung rifum. Yadyapyasavadharmena mamadniyadanagasam tatapyenang nahing sishye bhitang brahma tanung ripum. Again, one more time. The way it works is if you drop the Y and make it part of the next word. So you say yadyap. Yasav, as that the two are together, you see? That's how the sandhya works. Because if you say yadyapi asav adharmena, it doesn't really flow with the meter. So it's yadyap yasav adharmena. Okay. Yadyap yasav adharmena. Mambadni yadanagasam. Tatap yenang nahing sishye. Bhitang brahma tanung ripum. Please chant. Bhitang Brahma Tanung Ripum. Yadyapyasavadharmena mambadni adanagasam tatapyenam nahimsishye bhitam brahma tanung ripum. Yadyapyasavadharmena mambadni adanagasam tatapyenam nahingsishye bhitam brahma tanung ripum. Yadyapyasavadharmena mambadni adanagasam tatapyenam nahingsishye bhitang brahma tanum ripum. Vaishnavis. Yadyapyasavadharmena mambadniyadanagasam
tatapyenang nahing sishe pitang brahma tadum ripum yadapyasa vadharmena vang badni adanagasam tatapyenang nahing sishe Bhitang brahma tanum ripum yadyapi although aso Lord Vishnu adharmena crookedly without reference to the straight way mam me badniyat kills anagasam although I am not sinful, tatapi, still, enam, against him, na, not, hingsishe, I shall take any retaliation, bitam, because he is afraid, brahmatanum, having assumed the form of a brahmana brahmachari, Ripum, even though he is my enemy. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear, he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me, or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. Please repeat, although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. If Lord Vishnu, as he is, had come to Bali Maharaj and asked him to do something, Bali Maharaj certainly would not have refused his request. But to enjoy a little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself as a brahmana brahmachari and thus came to Bali Maharaj to beg for only 3 feet of land. Now, the next verse is the last statement of Bali Maharaj, so I'm going to read that one also. It has a very short purport. And then after that, the narrative resumes by Shukadeva Goswami. So, let's see here. Eshava tuma shloko na jiha sati yad yashaha yat hatva mayanang hare dhyudhe shayita nihatomaya. Prabhupada's translation. If this brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down, having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. Purport. Bali Maharaj's statement that Vishnu would lie down, having been killed, is not the direct meaning, for Vishnu cannot be killed by anyone. Lord Vishnu can kill everyone, but he cannot be killed. Thus, the real meaning of the words lie down is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. Lord Vishnu is defeated by a devotee through devotional service. Otherwise, no one can defeat Lord Vishnu. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschachade Shtarne Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the aging of ISKCON is going on. We might as well bite the bullets of us and just put out two rows of chairs every day. Because it's at the point where many of us can't sit on the floor anymore. I know I'm meditating on the King Parade on Monday. And I'm going to have to approach Ratna and tell him the only way I can come is if I sit on the cart. Because I'm suffering from this groin strain right now. And there's no way I'm going to walk 4 miles or whatever it is. You know, and dance. And say, it's just not going to happen this year. So, Ratna, if you're listening, I need to sit on the cart. And this is just the reality. Just like Srila Prabhupada at the Kumbh Mela, when he went with the disciples, they neglected to arrange hot water for Prabhupada to take his bath. So Prabhupada had to remind him, he said, I'm an old man, you have to do these things for me. I have to, you know, this is the reality. So similarly, we all have these bodies, and we've been mistrained to think that the body is ourself. This is the conditioning that we're weighed down with. So unless we're at the liberated platform, every one of us is still thinking in terms of the gender of this body, the color of the skin of the body, the place where the body was born. You know, we're still weighed down with these misconceptions. I'm not just that I'm Indian, but I'm self-Indian. You see? Not that I'm just American, but I'm from the East Coast of America, which is much better than the West Coast, in my opinion. You know, like that. Everybody has their... And this just goes on everywhere around the world. Not that I'm Korean. I'm North Korean or South Korean. Makes a big difference. You see? So we're all weighed down by this misconception of the body. So Shukracharya was thinking in terms of the body. So this is why his disciple, Bali Maharaj, has rejected him. Because at this point, he's enlightened enough to recognize his position in relationship to the Lord. And this is basically all we need to learn in this lifetime. Who am I? And what is my position in relationship to the Lord, the Supreme Person? First of all, that there is a Supreme Person from whom everything is emanating, in whom everything rests, and in whom everything will be withdrawn after annihilation. You see? This is discussed many times throughout the Bhagavatam, just to keep reminding us. Like we know, Bali Maharaj, his father was Virochana, whose father was Prahlad Maharaj, whose father was Hiranyakashipu. So, we know the story. Prahlad Maharaj, his guru was Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is the guru of many, many great personalities, including the author of the Vedas himself, Vyasadeva. So in this famous conversation between the two of them, in the fifth chapter of the first canto, Narad Muni said, Idami Vishvam Bhagavan Nivetaro Yato Jagatsdana Niroda Sambhava Taddi Swayam Veda Bhavam Stapite Padesha Matram Bhagavat Pradarshitam. He informed him, he said, Idami Vishvam, this Vishva that we're looking at, this universe, Bhagavan Nivetaro, it's manifestation of Bhagavan, Krishna, the Lord. It's a manifestation of the Lord's energy. Yata Jagatsdana Niroda Sambhava, from him only it is created, maintained, and at the end, wound up in its name. He says, your good self knows all of this. I've just given you a synopsis. And this same synopsis is repeated over and over again throughout the Bhagavatam. Just to remind us that this everything that we're looking at, everywhere we go, everything that we're looking at, everyone that we're looking at, they're all manifestation of Krishna's energy. And where do we fit in? We are infinitesimal part and parcel of the Lord. We are urged to develop this sense of self-importance. Practically, they tell you you can't exist if you don't have this sense of self-importance, that I am very important. So if you're important, what does that make everybody else? Not important, less important? You see, we all want to feel important, but
immediately, where does that put me in relation to everybody else? Am I more important than everybody else? Why? What have I done? What am I doing now? What am I planning to do that makes me more important than anybody else? So it's a 180 degree turn for our consciousness when we come in contact with the Vedic knowledge, which tells us, no, you're infinitesimal and you're not any more important than anybody else. You're insignificant. This is our actual position. We are insignificant. But in the modern psychology, they don't want to hear that and they don't want to teach that. They want to teach you that, no, you're very important. So, what to do? We come up against reality lifetime after lifetime, which proves the Vedic viewpoint that we're not very significant. Because no matter what you do in life, up to the point of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj has conquered the entire universe. Can't get any bigger position than that. Except for maybe Lord Brahma. So now he's the de facto titular head of the universe. Everything goes through. The buck stops on his desk anywhere and in the universe. You see? By now, he's been confronted by the Lord who appeared after the sacrifice performed by... Who performed the sacrifice to call the Lord in this pastime? Aditi. Aditi is the mother of the demons. Aditi is the mother of the demigods. So she prayed after the demons headed by Bali Maharaj had taken away what she saw as the rightful possessions of her sons, the demigods. She performed the particular vrata. Who remembers the name of that vrata? Paya vrata. She performed that particular sacrifice. The Lord was pleased and he appeared and what do you want? And I want you to rectify the situation. Okay, I'll come as your son. But this time I'm not going to engage in fighting because previously the Lord had come and fought against the demons personally. This time he's not going to fight. So he assumed this form of Vamanadeva and went to the arena of sacrifice of Bali Maharaj and induced him through peaceful means to give everything back that actually belongs to him. See, everything belongs to the Lord. Krishna says that. Oh, repeatedly, everything is mine. It's stated repeatedly throughout the scriptures, everything belongs to God, but still we fight over God's possessions. Isn't it? Fighting is going on at this very moment all over the world. People are fighting over what belongs to Krishna. Killing each other over what belongs to Krishna. And in the end, Krishna again proves, Mrityu Sarva Harasya Aham, even if you are able to hold on to it for some time, I'm going to come and take it from you anyway. So better give it to me voluntarily. Give it to me voluntarily. Give me what is mine voluntarily, and then I will reward you for that, developing that mentality. That, yes, my Lord, this belongs to you. I should use it in your service. Krishna becomes pleased by that. So Narad Muni, again, he's generally behind the scenes of so many of these pastimes. And like I said, previously the Lord came. Not only did he kill Prahlad Maharaj's father, Hiranyakashipu, but he also killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. And he appeared in that incarnation as Lord Varaha. And before he killed him, recited... Well, first of all, Hiranyaksha was insulting him like anything, and the Lord spoke a few words before he killed him. So one of the verses there always stuck with me. He says, Satyam vayam bho managho charamaga yusmar vedan mrigaye gramya singham namrityu pashaya patimuktakshya virya vikattanam tavagrinantya vadra. And the way Prabhupada translates it there is very poetic. Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle and we are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the clutches of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you're indulging because you're bound up by the laws of death. So this again is our position. We can't deny that. We can't deny it. No matter how this so-called scientists promise, they're not getting anywhere with these things. They have the science of gerontology, the science of aging. They're trying to see what they can do to slow down aging. But every one of us knows we're getting older day by day. No matter what the scientists are doing in their labs, we're getting older day by day. And if we're smart, we don't allow ourselves to be victimized by all these commercial promises of this cream is going to do that and this non-invasive form of, you know, removing wrinkles and stuff. It's all just not going to slow down the aging process. This body's going to age anyway. You know, whether you go for Botox or no Botox or whatever, it's going to age, given. They can't stop it. So they can't stop the aging process. And then there's thanatology, the science of death, studying death. They can't stop that either. They've tried, they're trying, they're planning, but they can't stop death. And they want to freeze the body and see if later on they can bring it back to life. And no, not going to work. So we have to just face reality. Face reality. We are insignificant, and Bali Maharaj is going to get a very rude come down here after so-called giving in charity what actually belongs to the Lord already. As he himself says in the verse today, that even if he arrests me, I'm not going to retaliate. He can't retaliate anyway. He can't retaliate against Vishnu. You see, you can't. So he's intelligently noticing and saying these things, that even if he takes everything away, even if he arrests me, I'm not going to retaliate. And guess what? He can't retaliate. So he was arrested. But he's later on rewarded. The Lord became his doorkeeper, as you know. And so it's not that Krishna is eagerly waiting to become all of our doorkeepers. But the point is, if we surrender to Krishna, which is really the goal of human life, to surrender. We don't like to hear this word surrender. But surrender we must. Either voluntarily through the bhakti process or involuntarily through the process of death. Mrityu sarva harasyaham. Krishna will come, take everything away and humble us again. Again, we'll be humbled by force. So Bali Maharaj is being intelligent here. He's humbling himself voluntarily. The Lord has come before me and I know he's going to cheat. He's pretending to be a Brahmin, a Brahmachari. But he's actually Vishnu himself. But it's okay. I'm going to give him what he asked for. And even if he arrests me, I'm not going to get mad. I'm just going to go along with the program. So this is our position that we've been put into. We've been brought in contact with the program for Kali Yuga. The program for the Kali Yuga is this Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatarayata. In this age of Kali, which is going already, we're only more than 5,000 years into it. We can see what's going on. People are slaughtering each other in the name of religion, which gives real religion a bad name. But still, we have to go out there and convince people that there is real religion. Just like there are bad politicians and good politicians, bad teachers, good teachers, there's bad religionists and good religionists. Don't throw everything out just because, you know, some so-called religious people are doing bad things. That means there is no good religion. No. Just like you keep on electing politicians, even though there are so many bad politicians. So you try again. You tried with this religion and it didn't work out. You approach this one. Although we say it's not really religion. This is a spiritual science that you can practice and get the results yourself. You can see in your own consciousness how it's working. You don't have to take my word for it. Just like when we leave out here, Rabindranath will have halava and sandesh. So you don't have to take my word for it. Get a handful yourself, taste it. So it's the same thing in practicing bhakti yoga in general. You don't have to take somebody's word for it that it works. Practice it. Chant Hare Krishna. Take Krishna prasadam. Associate with devotees. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dance in the kirtan. All these things you do and see how you feel. And lo and behold, we've seen, those of us who have been around in our own lives, that it works and therefore we stick to it. And we see how new people come. Quite often they're blown away. Just after one kirtan. They run around with the devotees, chant, dance, and then go take some prasadam, and it's like, wow, when can I move in? You see? They don't want to leave immediately. So this is very fortunate. Very fortunate. Otherwise, we see what's going on in the Kali Yuga. People are just vicious. They're vicious. They say, you've insulted our prophet. Yes, we agree. Your prophet has been insulted. But does that give you then leeway to go and blow people up and shoot them? Really? Does it give you the right to do that because your prophet has been insulted? We say no, emphatically no. If somebody's insulting your chosen religious or spiritual path, try to convince them through argument. That's the first step. Try that what you're doing is actually the right thing. And if that doesn't work, leave the place. Nobody's forcing you to live in France or Germany or whatever. If the Germans or the French don't appreciate your chosen religious path, then go somewhere else where it's appreciated. And if you can't do that, if you feel that you have to fight, it comes down to that sometimes, because they'll point to our scriptures also. So much fighting was there. But fight like a gentleman. Fight like a lady. Not that you burst into somebody's office and shoot them. You go and say, I don't like the way you're treating my prophet, my religion. I'm willing to fight. Even if you kill me, like Bali Maharaj is saying. Even if I die. Even if you do it irreligiously, I am willing to fight against you because I believe so strongly in my prophet and my path. Don't be a criminal in defending your religion. That's criminal, to burst into somebody's office and shoot them, or to plant some bomb somewhere and blow them up as they drive by. That is not religious. That's totally irreligious. So in the name of religion, you're committing irreligious acts. So who's going to follow you? Who's going to be impressed by that? You see? So we have been given a very, very clear, very easy, very sublime path to follow. And if people don't appreciate, if they blaspheme against our religious path, they blaspheme Krishna, even Prabhupada, yes, then we try to convince them through argument. And if we can't do that, then we leave the place. And if it comes down to a fight, then we fight religiously. Even if we're completely outnumbered. We don't go around blowing people up because they said something bad against Krishna or Prabhupada or something like that. That is out of the question. So these people are off the wall in their approach to defending their so-called religious and spiritual path. They're completely off the wall. Yes, we agree with you. People are nasty and they will insult you. They will insult your mother. They'll insult your Supreme Father, God. But this is not the way to convince them. This is not the way to convince them. Just the opposite, you see. They will lock arms and they will oppose you because of the way you're trying to defend your religion. So we're not into that. So Bali Maharaj is voluntarily surrendering here, and Lord Vamanadeva will do what he came to do, which is take everything back to give to the demigods. But ultimately, whether one is a demigod or a demon or a human or whatever, the ultimate goal of life is the same for all of us. Surrender to Krishna voluntarily. Otherwise, Krishna will come and take everything away as death. So we can stop here. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, Bhakti Erin. First of all, I have a question for you. When are you going to stop being Bhakti Erin? You've been around for a long time now.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thanks for all this class. I just came across an example about this. I had a question from Mahabharata. But usually, you know, we understand these external things are only significant in terms of how they relate to the internal state. You know, like somebody's only factually a brahmana if they're actually in a spiritual consciousness or something like that. So but I remember there's sometimes instances that seem to contradict that. Like there's one instance in Mahabharata, for instance, that comes to mind. Vidura was ineligible to inherit the kingdom because he was supposed to be a Shudra, and he was actually Yamaraj, who was cursed to take the form of a Shudra, but he obviously had such good qualities. You know, he was the advisor of Dhritarashtra, the king, and you know, and everyone respected him tremendously. But you know, and yet he was still kind of considered, you know, according to his external caste. I was just wondering if you could explain that.
Yeah, so therefore he's a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is above Brahmana, above any Varnashram designation. You see, he's a Vaishnava, a worshipper of Lord Vishnu, a devotee of the Lord. He's a Vaishnava. From ordinary Vaishnava, Varnashram perspective, yes, he was born a Shudra, born of a maidservant. But the Vaishnava approach is, if you find someone that can be trained to be a Vaishnava and trained to be a Brahmana, then you train them. If they have the qualities. If they have the qualities. First of all, like, you have to be honest. Just like that story Prabhupada told many times. The boy wanted to go to Gurukul. He wanted to be educated by a particular guru. So he approached him. And the guru asked him, well, what is your caste? He said, well, I don't know. He said, well, go ask your mother. So he went to ask his mother. He said, what is my caste? She said, I don't know, because I don't know who your father is. you know, I had relationships with many different men, and I don't know who your father is, so I don't know what your caste is. So I went back to the guru and he told him, my mother doesn't know. He said, you're a brahmana, because you're honest. So it's the quality that makes a difference. Of course, a lot of the caste-conscious people, they don't think like that, but the Vaishnavas don't care. The Vaishnava guru will accept anyone who shows some interest and has some inclination to be trained to become a Vaishnava. And they will, along the way, generally give them brahminical initiation. Whether it's recognized by other caste-conscious people or not, the Vaishnavas don't care. You get that brahminical initiation so you can be trained how to serve the Lord on the altar, like that, particular things that you have to have second initiation for. Otherwise, Harinam, Diksha initiation is enough to take you back to Godhead. It's not that you have to absolutely have that second initiation. But generally speaking, the devotees want to come nearer to the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. Just like I'm very fortunate that 4 days a week I get to do Mangalarti, and I'm usually one that cleans the paraphernalia. So every day I'm reminded how cleansing that is from a spiritual point of view. When you clean the Lord's paraphernalia, you're cleaning your heart. Or you clean the temple room, or any kind of cleaning work that you do for the Lord as devotional service. You're cleaning your heart, cleaning your consciousness. That story we know of Bhaktisiddhanta, where that scholar approached him, that Guru Maharaj, I'd like to ask you some questions about some things I don't understand about it. So he said, I'm a little busy now, but you go, the brahmacharis will engage you, and then you can come back later. So he went, and they engaged him, and in cleaning the brass, polishing the brassware that's used in the pujari room. And after some time he came back, and then Srila Bhakti said, so what is your question? He said, my question has been answered. Just by cleansing, by polishing the brass, he was cleaning his heart, and from inside he got the answer to his questions. So this is the Vaishnava approach, that anybody who's willing to be trained, submissive enough that you can train them and engage them in the Lord's service, they will accept them. And if the society in general does not accept them as being brahmanas, so what? We're not going to lose any sleep over it. Anything else? Yes, Neela.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your wonderful class. It's been a very long time since I talked about anything political, but what is also true is that there's a lot of evidence that the United States has launched a war of aggression into a foreign country to secure oil resources, and a lot of the footage we don't see or hear about come from the people who live there, and they say that, you know, a mother is saying that the soldiers come into my house and they've just shot my child in front of my eyes, and this is kind of thrown a rock into a beehive, if you will, as a metaphor. I know we don't see that on the news, but and violence is not the answer, but these people are really, really suffering, and their bombing and such is a sure sign of a lot of desperation as a matter to kick out the foreign invaders who are there to take hold of their natural resources and destroy their culture.
As we started out by saying in the beginning, everybody's a thief. It's not your oil. That's your mistake. You're thinking that this oil belongs to us. No, the oil belongs to Mother Earth, who belongs to Krishna. And you keep pumping it out, and guess what? You start having earthquakes in some place in Connecticut that never had an earthquake for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. It affects the whole planet. So that's the first misconception, that it's our oil or their oil or no. So Maya engages those who are in demoniac consciousness to fight each other. Prabhupada gave the example of schoolboys who are being bad, and the teacher brings them in front of the class. Okay, now you grab his ear, tells the other boy, you grab his ear. Now both of you pull. And they keep pulling him because this one is feeling pain, then he pulls harder, and they pull harder. And he's simply hurting each other. So all around this globe, people who are in Maya, people who are in material consciousness, are hurting each other. You may divide them as Americans, as, you know, Arabs or whatever, whatever temporary name you want to give them. Black, white, whatever. These are all temporary designations. And Maya is just engaging all of them to fight each other and give each other pain. We're not saying that this, you know, group is innocent and that group is not. No, they're all guilty. They're all guilty because they refuse to surrender to Krishna. And even when they take to the so-called religious path, it's just a name only. It's the name only which gives real religion a bad name. because people can see. You know, it's a lot of times, I mean, you can go any culture you want to look at, but you brought up Middle East. A lot of these people who are these big imams and leaders and whatnot, people see them. They're subjugating other people. Women can't drive. And then they go to, Europe and they're chasing after women like anything, like the, you know, and they're drinking things that they would arrest you for if you do in their country. You come to our country, just no drinking. If you drink a beer, they throw you in jail. But then they go to Europe and they're all drinking the finest whiskey and this and that. People are not blind. So this is what passes for leadership in Kali Yuga, both religious leadership and political leadership. They're all contaminated. Practically to a man or a woman, they're all contaminated, and they're pretending to be leaders. And therefore, they ruin the entire atmosphere. Every one of them is guilty of some atrocity. But even when you bring it down to the common person, every one of us is guilty of atrocities. We're killing so many insects, and those who are still eating meat, so many animals. So all of that collective karma comes back against us in some way, shape, or form. Whether you're living in Syria, and your own government is bombing you. Don't blame the Americans. Assad doesn't want to leave. His own people want him to leave. He doesn't want to leave, so he's killing his own people. So this is going on all around the world. You can't blame this group or that group. It's the Americans' fault or it's the Russians' fault. Everybody's getting their just dessert. Everybody's getting their just dessert, you see? There's a verse that says, Eka prasuyate jantur, eka eva praliyate, eka onabungte sukritam, eka esha shaduskritam. It says, every living entity is born alone, and alone will die. And alone, they suffer or enjoy the good or bad results of their own karma. So every one of us is going through that. And we like to point the finger. If America would just disappear, then everything would be fine. But no, it wouldn't. Look at the Koreas. Everybody looks alike. You can't tell a South Korean different from a North Korean, but they didn't see enough difference to kill each other. So if the whole world looked alike, they would still kill each other. Because they're in Maya, they're in material consciousness. It's not a question of this political system, that leader. It's the material consciousness that we need to get out of. So I can see we can spark a lot of discussion on this, but time is going. We should stop here. We can take it outside to the Maha plate. Jai, Granthirashima Bhagatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
I just want to quickly clarify, you know, when you're doing Sanskrit, because of why then you turn out to be. not it. Yes. Any word that ends with a Y, you don't pronounce in the first word, but it's beginning of the second word.
It depends on where it's placed. Obviously, the Y is at the end of the line.
Of course, yeah. It's a bit wide, and then a vowel word.